It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. We're here to preview the Sox home opening series with the Baltimore Orioles. Before we do that, remember to hit that subscribe button. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts, hit that subscribe button, rate us 5 stars, leave a comment, give us your series predictions for this big series, first divisional series of the season. We're also on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel. We've got a playlist there, so remember to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe to WEEI. On that channel, follow us at Play Tessie, both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy and Pat, Coop producing. Quick interruption here, interrupting your regularly scheduled series preview because we had some breaking news today as we record. So full disclosure, we recorded the series preview for Sox Orioles Sunday night after the Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Angels. It is now Monday, the day before the Sox Orioles series begins. And we had some breaking news today, first reported by Chris Cotillo. The Red Sox and Seydon Rafaela, who is fresh into the big leagues, but this is the new model. They have agreed to an extension, and it is reportedly, according to Mark Feinsand, 8 years and $50 million. We don't have confirmation at this time, one way or the other, whether there are option years involved in that. No one has said either way. So I guess we're going to kind of give both reactions. For this portion of the episode, I'm here with Pat and Coop. Sammy couldn't make it for this, but he will be here for the rest of the series preview. I think I'm just going to kick it to Pat here. Pat, you see this news. Seydon Rafaela agrees to an extension. Like, there were some eyeball tweets. Like, a couple of us were in a group chat. We were talking through. Like, we knew something was happening. We didn't know exactly what it was for, like, a while before it happened. Had my theories, but... yeah, it turned out to be Seydon Rafaela extended. He will be here through his age, I believe, 32 season. I'll verify that. I want you to give your take, Pat. I'll verify when he's here till while you do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be pretty ecstatic about this news, especially at the cap hit. Let's say it's just a flat out 8 for $50. I mean, it's less than 7 a year, essentially. I'm sure it's going to start off relatively low AAV, then work its way up. That's typically how they're kind of structured. But even if he's an absolute nothing at the plate, he's your 9 hitter the next 8 years, he's profiling as a guy who's going to be a Gold Glove contender in center, and he might even move to shortstop for the rest of the season, and who knows what he looks like there. That being said, having a guy who is a defensive first center fielder, which we've seen in recent years how valuable up the middle defense is, having a guy like that on average at $6.5 million is an absolute steal. He's 23. If this is as good as he gets, he's still worth the 6.25 a year. In my eyes, this is a giant win for the Red Sox. And hopefully they get something done with Cassis. And you have a legit core locked in before the big three even get up.
I hope they get something done with Cassis, but I got a note here that Chris Cotillo said that he thinks it would be a surprise if any other extensions got done from this point. So, like, I'm not counting on it. Doesn't mean it's not going to get done. Like, we all remember they were $100 million away apart with Devers, and then that got done. And in the end, for us, it's not about the money spent. It's about, our good players locked up. So in that sense, I'm feeling good about the Rafael extension. But at the same time, I look at some similar guys. Like, you look at Colt Keith's extension. I have it up right here. He got 6 years, $28.5 million. And the team, the Tigers, got three team options with that. Again, we don't know how much of this Rafaela deal is options or not, but I would be a lot more comfortable with this if it were like 25, 30 million. And then there, the 2 years that bring it to eight were team options. I get that that changes up the AAV in terms of luxury tax, but just for a guy who has basically like been a mid 600s OPS guy in his major league time so far, obviously we anticipate and hope he gets better than that, but that would make me feel a little bit more comfortable. That said, I would rather they overpay and keep a guy that they like here longer term than play games and maybe they extend him, maybe they don't. And then you get to the end of the contract and now he's a year away from free agency and he's going to leave just like Mookie Betts did, just like John Lester did, kind of a similar way to Xander, even though they did extend him once. So I'd rather have him extended than not, but I am hopeful that hope maybe by the time this podcast drops, some news on the potential options comes out, but we'll see. Coop, where were you at on this?
I mean, I'm a fan, like, we're talking about money, but in 2026, there's going to be another CBA. So we are going to be playing with more money within 2 years. And by we, I mean John Henry. And by our money, I mean his money. So if anything, like, I'm pretty excited about this because this is the closest that I have felt that the light is at the end of the tunnel. Like, Bayo extension was like, okay, that's cool that we got that. But are all these other guys, are they staying as well? And now we're at the point where Sedan Rafaela, who wasn't even of the big three that we always talk about for prospects, but he's emerging as one of the top prospects for the Red Sox. We've got him locked up in a Braves type deal. And it finally feels like the Red Sox are doing something that those big markets do. And I don't want to give the front office too much credit because I don't want to be once again caught like looking embarrassed. But it feels good with what they're doing. And I have a little bit of trust in what they're doing right now. My only other question, though, is what do you guys think this says for Durant? Because, I mean, Trevor Story going down might help him out in this case. But Sedan Rafaela now has a permanent spot with this team.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point, Coop, because we had these discussions all offseason about the outfield quote-unquote surplus. Now you've got clear evidence that this team likes Sedan Rafaela. He's going to be here. Durant also is going to be here because even after this year, he has 4 years left. Willy Abreu, after this year, has 5 years left, and that's assuming he stays on the big league roster. We also have Masataka Yoshida at DH, and you cannot ignore Roman Anthony coming up. You're not going to be able to keep all these guys. And I think, I don't know how they felt about Durant because all reports indicated they weren't talking extension with him and that they were talking extension with Abreu, and they clearly were talking with Rafaela. So even though Durant, I think, is playing his way into that discussion of being a core piece, I don't think the front office viewed him as that this offseason, just based off of the evidence we have. That can obviously change. Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Jaron is going to be where Jaron is now. Like, he honestly profiles better as a corner outfielder. The speed is meant for center, but glove, range, instinct, it's corner outfield to me. I mean, I think he'll be on the Red Sox at least until Miguel Blaze comes up, pending, obviously, Miguel pans out and everything.
That's another thing.
Exactly.
It's a little bit down the road, but it is a thing.
Exactly. So I think, you know, next year, year and a half, 2 years from now, an outfield of Durant, Rafaela, and Roman makes a lot of sense. I'll be very curious to see what happens with Masa and Rafi.
Devers?
Yes. Not that they're moving. Well,
you're saying Devers would, you're anticipating a Devers move to DH. Is that what I'm getting from what you're saying there?
By the time Miguel Blaze is up, and by the time, I think Rafi will be at DH before Massa's contract is up.
And Massa has what, 3 years after this year?
3 years after this, yeah.
See, that's the guy I'm going to keep an eye on here. Because, yeah. I mean, obviously it's easy to say when he hasn't had necessarily the greatest start to the year. But they were talking trade with him too in the offseason. So maybe he's a guy that they dump. I don't know. They could dump him. It could be a thing. Like, because we talk about this year. Obviously, this year, like, Rafaela could go to short. Maybe, maybe not. Anthony's probably not coming up this year. But you only have so many spots. And I think Willy Abreu has to be on the trade market. Because even if you think he fits in the outfield as a body, Duran is left-handed. Anthony is left-handed. Your corner infielders are left-handed. Marcelo Meyer is left-handed. Like, everyone on this team is left-handed. So who makes more sense to trade? I don't know. I mean, Duran, I guess, is left-handed too. I don't know. It's going to be one of those two, Duran or Abreu. You can't keep both. And potentially you can't. You may need to trade both.
To me, it comes down to, I think skill set-wise, I think Duran is infinitely more valuable to the team than Willier. I think Willier is at best like a bottom third of the order, like pretty good contact hitter. Duran's speed, like speed kills. The way he started this year, the way he profiles as a legit base dealer, and over the last 2 years, a very good contact hitter with a little bit of pop. I think Willier is all but gone within, not saying now, but relatively soon, by before the Romans and the Blazes and the and Marcellos, before those guys come up, because I think skill set wise, I'd be curious to hear what you guys think, but I think Duran absolutely clears Abreu.
I mean, right now, absolutely. There's no getting around it. Like, Duran is electric.
I think even ceiling wise,
I do too. Yeah, I agree. Coop, you Duran or Abreu? If you had to pick, keep one.
It's a pretty easy one. It's Duran. Yeah. Like, as much as we love Abreu, like, Duran is the guy that you want long term.
Yeah. I tend to agree. But yeah, I mean, the extension, it tips their hand a little bit as to how they're thinking long term, because we talked all off season, like, who would you trade? Rafaela, Duran, Abreu. Like, we talked about those three in unison about who you would trade. They like Rafaela. They have told you that today. They like the kid. So I think going into next year, going into years into the future, you can pencil Rafaela in as your center fielder. Maybe he gets the occasional day in the infield, but he's here to play center field. And yeah, we'll see what's to come there. Like, the roster building is only going to get more tight, and it's in a good way. It's a good problem to have, but it's only going to get more tight as the years go by, and more of these guys, these offensive prospects that they've been building and building up in the minors, as they come up, you're going to have to make decisions. But any other points from you guys before we get to back to our regularly scheduled programming here?
Go Sox, baby.
Go Sox. Beat the O's. We'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming here. Appreciate you guys tuning in for this one. Seidan Rafaela, Red Sox, extension, 8 years, $50 million. We're here to preview the series that the Sox have coming up with the Orioles. First game's on Tuesday. It's like a 2 o'clock start, 2:10, 2:05, something like that. 2 o'clock start, Sox Orioles on Tuesday. But just to get a gauge here, Orioles, 5-4. The Orioles, the 2023 AL East division champion Orioles. Many predict them to win the division. They were my preseason pick to win the division. But they are 5-4. They just lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates. And their most recent game, they were up 2-1 in the ninth. Yennier Cano came in, blew the save, got walked off in the same inning. Orioles lose to the Pirates, who are off to a hot start as they were last year. So we'll see if that keeps up. But gentlemen, how are you feeling about the Sox Orioles series? Without giving your predictions, because we'll get to that. But how are you feeling? Sox are 7-3. We just did a whole series recap podcast. If you haven't listened, go listen to that.
I'm feeling...
Are you at least excited for the home opener?
Sure.
Should we have that discussion?
I mean, I'm excited for the home opener, but I feel like
I feel like they're walking into a fight with a bullet in their leg right now without Trevor Story. It's so hard for me to get hyped without the full, like, that was the whole thing, was Story was going to fix the infield defense. And seven games in, seven and a half, he's gone. So excuse me if I'm not chipper and joyful as usual. I'm just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But I want to have the discussion here about home openers, because the Red Sox have played 10 games this year. We've watched 10 full games. And now on Tuesday afternoon, in the middle of a workday, we're going to watch these guys like take the field and walk down the line and give each other high fives and fist bumps, announce the names. We're going to introduce all the staff, and the Orioles are going to do this too. Like, they're going to introduce the Orioles. The Red Sox have already done this twice, because they did it in the real opener in Seattle, and they did the Angels home opener this past series. This is now the third time that these guys are going to be announced. Home openers are weird to me, because I get excited if the Red Sox have opening day at Fenway, but like, it's not an opener to me. Pat, where are you at with that? Like, do you get out of bed for a home opener in the same way as you do for opening day or anything close?
No, I mean, the adrenaline and like the excitement doesn't match. It also feels weird because they are on such a long road trip that having any formal ceremony for the first anything 10 games in feels so weird. But I'm excited for them to be back at Fenway. I'm excited for the home opener, the ceremony. Like, I'm excited for it all, but it doesn't hit like opening day does. It never will.
Sammy, where are you at on that?
I like home openers. It's exciting. Fenway's special. And you see ballparks like Oakland, we just witnessed, and makes you really thankful that your home ballpark as a fan is Fenway. So I'm hoping it's hopping. I love classic Major League Baseball. Oh, Red Sox home opener? How about 2 o'clock in the middle of a workday when everyone's working? Fantastic. Yeah. For the game. But yeah, like I said, I hope it's loud. I don't know, though. I have no idea. The offseason was almost exclusively negative, and then this season has been mostly positive in terms of wins and losses, at least. So,
well, that's what I want to get into there. Vibe check, because you'll get a gauge of the vibes from how the fans are acting during the opening series. But we don't know yet. The series has not started yet. Are the vibes good because they're 7-3? Is there lingering anger from the offseason that ownership has set a budget and didn't spend and has not given the roster the reinforcements it needs to potentially withstand an injury like Trevor Story's? Is there more negativity because of the Trevor Story injury? Like, they're 7-3. Which is better than I think anyone thought they were going to be at this point, even regardless of the competition that we all knew that they had in the first 10 games. But the vibes, I feel like it's the same thing as what we talked about on radio, Sammy, when we were on Saturday coming off the win the day after the Story injury. The vibes, I feel like it's confusing. I feel like it'll depend on who you ask.
For me, it's so hard for me to get excited about, how do I put this? 7-3 is awesome, but it's so hard for me to get excited about the future of this team, knowing they're going to be without Trevor Story, who is here to cover up maybe the greatest deficiency that the team had last year in not having a shortstop. And they're right back to that. The pitching's better. That's great. But how far can you go with a shortstop rotation of David Hamilton, Pablo Reyes, Romy Gonzalez, maybe, and then the other option, like we talked about in the recap of the Anaheim series, is moving your best defensive outfielder to shortstop because he's a freak of nature and can do both. So happy they're winning, not super positive about the future.
Pat, vibe check for you. 7-3, but some bad news potentially coming on Story. There's a chance that by the time this drops, that news could be out if it comes out. But if not, like, it's going to come out and we don't anticipate it being good. So where's your head at with the vibes?
Yeah, I think no matter how much you like this team, I think everyone's going to go into it with tempered expectations. I think that there were tempered expectations before the story thing, and then now, especially afterward. But, I mean, the home opener will be fun. The opening home series will be fun. Who knows? If they win 2 out of 3 from Baltimore, there might be, like, a real, like, vibe in the air. People might be like, I want to go to a Sox game. But, again, tempered expectations. If they lose 2 out of 3, they're like, all right, this got what we expected. And it's kind of back to ground level. So, I don't know. I'm pretty indifferent on the whole thing.
I'm just taking it as it hits me, man. Like, I need to have, like, just for my own sanity, I need to, like, root for every single game like they're in contention and like they matter until they're not. And right now they're 7-3, so they've got a good amount of wiggle room before they're not. If they were to lose a bunch of games, I'm hoping they're not going to lose a bunch of games. I agree with you, Pat. I think how they come out of the series with Baltimore will kind of solidify them in some people's minds, because if they lose the series, it will solidify them as, oh, they were just beating up on the bad teams, they can't beat the good teams, and they'll probably be around 500 because of that. And if they beat the Orioles, then I think a lot of people will start to not necessarily buy in, but at least acknowledge the possibility that there's a chance that the Sox could actually be reasonably good this year. So, interesting. I don't want to say big series, because you could say every series is a big series, but it's an interesting series.
Yeah.
If you guys don't, anything else before we get into the pitching matchups, hitters to watch?
No, let's jump right into it. I'm ready to go.
All right. Game one, Tuesday, Brian Bayo versus Corbin Burnes. A matchup of each team's opening day starter. Brian Bayo has a 5.4 ERA right now. Had a pretty solid first start in Seattle, coming off a 5-inning, 4-earned-run start in Oakland. So not his best work, but he's coming back home. You know, Brian Bayo loves the spot, comes out when it's the big games, and you got a home opener against the division rival, a team that you could send. I mean, they're 5-4. If you win the series, let's say they win 2 out of 3, you're at 9-4 and they're at 500. So he's going to get out of bed for that. But you've got Corbin Burnes on the other side. He's got a 2.31 ERA. Coming off a 5 2/3, 2 earned run outing against Kansas City. He only had 3 Ks. He had a much better start on opening day, where he was dominant against the Angels. But that was their big offseason trade acquisition. Orioles, basically, owner sold the team, and the second the new guy gets on board, Corbin Burnes, come on aboard. You're coming with me. So that was scary to see, in 2.31 ERA. Like, that's kind of what we expect from him. He's a stud. Second game. Nick Pivetta versus Cole Irvin. It's an interesting one because Nick Pivetta, 0.82 ERA, coming off a five innings of scoreless ball in Oakland. Didn't look as good as his first start in Seattle, where he dominated, struck out 10, but he got the job done, didn't allow any runs. Obviously, this will be a start against the toughest competition he has seen this year, because neither the Mariners or the Athletics have a particularly good offense, but Pivetta's off to a good start, has been one of the better pitchers on the Red Sox staff to this point. Cole Irvin, it's interesting because he threw on April 2nd. He went 5 innings, 4 runs with 3 strikeouts against the Royals. But he'll have 8 days of rest going into this start against the Red Sox. And I know Cole Irvin this offseason had a jump in velocity. Like, he looked pretty good in the spring. We'll see how that looks coming off 8 days of rest. Cole Irvin is an interesting dude to watch, seen in years prior as more of just a guy who can come in and eat innings for you. But if his velocity's up, you never know. When guys have jumps in velocity, sometimes that leads to better results. Sometimes it doesn't. We'll see if Cole Irvin can have a better second start than he did in his first start. Game three, Thursday, Cutter Crawford versus Grayson Rodriguez. Potential big breakout pitcher of the year this year could be for Grayson Rodriguez if you don't consider him already broken out last year, where he had a great second half. But Cutter Crawford, 0.84 ERA, coming off of 4 2/3 innings against the Angels. I believe, was that 1 earned run or no earned runs? I forgot to write it down.
One
earned run. Grayson Rodriguez, he's got a 2.19 ERA. He's coming off 6 1/3 of two-run ball against Pittsburgh. He struck out 7. The interesting tidbit on Grayson Rodriguez this year is he's allowed 3 total earned runs. All 3 of them are on solo shots. So this is not a guy who has given you very many opportunities to get shit done. That could be an interesting one to watch. Grayson Rodriguez is going to be one of the better pitchers in the league for years to come, and we've seen it in 2 starts this year. We've seen it already. Hopefully it doesn't last a third one. But guys, Sammy, I'll go to you first. Pitching matchups, how are you feeling with those? You're seeing 2 of the Orioles' better pitchers right there, and Cole Irvin, at least a wild card.
I think the first game is brutal. I think the Red Sox. You want me to give my series predictions as well?
Not yet. We'll do hitters to watch, and then we'll get the series prediction.
Okay. I mean, the first one's obviously tough. Anytime you're facing Corbin Burns, it's never fun, especially when your lineup is mostly left-handed since he's Mr. Cutter. Just throws cutter after cutter after cutter after cutter, and then a changeup, and then more cutters. So I think that's a tough matchup for the very left-handed heavy Red Sox. And normally, a righty versus a left-handed heavy lineup is good, but this style of righty, not so much. Game 2, Cole Irvin, just out of nowhere, is throwing heat now and looks like a different pitcher. So I don't love that. Lefty versus the Red Sox lineup, kind of tough. We were screaming all offseason long, please get a right-handed bat. And we saw in the Reed Detmers game, game 2, they got completely shut down by a lefty. So the lack of supplementing already hurting the Red Sox. That's great. And then game 3, I actually like. I think the Red Sox match up well with Grayson Rodriguez. The thing I'm concerned about is Cutter did not look great in Anaheim. So he's going to have to bounce back a bit. He didn't look bad. He just didn't look himself. So yeah, those are some pretty difficult matchups, as is to be expected when you're playing a really good team like the Orioles.
Pat, how are you feeling about facing Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez, Cole Irvin in this series?
Yeah, funny enough, I'm the opposite of Sammy. I feel pretty comfortable about going in against Corbin Burns. I don't know what it is, but I do. They should absolutely pummel Cole Irvin. They should knock him out of the game very early. He is not a good pitcher. Grayson is the one that scares me.
Yeah.
Grayson is the one that I could see that our lineup really struggling against. Like, he's going to be an absolutely dominant, I think. So, I don't know. We'll see, but we'll get to my prediction. But that's the one I'm worried about, is Grayson Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the most worried about Grayson Rodriguez, but it's tough because, like Sammy said, Corbin Burns throws a lot of cutters, lefty, heavy lineup. Not necessarily the best, but they did get him last year in Milwaukee. They did get to Corbin Burns last year. Cole Irvin, I'm not super high on him, but he's a lefty, so like we'll see. It's going to be tough. But we'll do some hitters to watch. There's really not a lot here because not many Orioles players have had huge starts to the year. Nobody's really crushing it. Mountcastle is the only regular with an OPS over 800. He's at 879. But obviously, this is a team with Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Cedric Mullins, Anthony Santander. The tough part is that, like, kind of what has made the Rays good offensively in years past is that they've got a bunch of switch hitters and they're able to kind of tailor their lineup to who they're facing, have a bunch of lefties against the righties and a bunch of righties against the lefties. Similar to that, the Orioles have both Adley Rutschman and Anthony Santander that are switch hitters and are going to be tough matchups no matter who you throw out there. And like, obviously you got really tough guys like Gunnar Henderson. Obviously this Orioles team has way more coming in terms of bats. Maybe it is better to get one of the series out of the way early and maybe try to squeak away with a series win, because their AAA team might be better than their big league team. If you look at those OPSs down, up and down the lineup, they're all over 1,000. It's ridiculous. But yeah, let's get into the series predictions here. Let's start with, actually, we'll do a score update here. You guys both once again got it right. So Sammy is 3 for 3 in series predictions, but got the bonus point for Seattle. Pat, you're also 3 for 3 in predicting the series. You didn't get the bonus point for Seattle. So Sammy has 4 points. Pat has 3 points. I have yet to predict the series, right? I don't know how the hell you guys keep doing it.
I'm 10 for 10 with games right now. I've gotten gotten every game right so far.
Yeah, Sammy has not only just predicted every series right, but he's predicted the exact sequence of win, loss, whatever, before it has happened. Very impressive.
This is my Super Bowl.
Well, guess what, Sammy? Because you have the most points, you're going first. Predict the series.
Okay, well, sorry about this, guys. I think on the home opener, the Red Sox get shafted by the Orioles. Red Sox have Brian Bayo on the mound. He's a ground ball machine. You are now missing your number one defensive infielder in Trevor Story. That's awful. You also have Corbin Burnes on the other side, and he is just filthy. So I think the Red Sox have a very, very tough home opener. I have nothing to back this up, but I feel like they never do well in home openers, or rarely do well in home openers. It's always a ceremony, but I feel like it's kind of common for all teams because one team is all hyped up, like tons of pressure, and the other team is like, come on, man, start the game. We don't care. Business as usual. So Red Sox lose game one. Game two, I think they lose again. I think Cole Irvin surprises people. He's looked strangely good. Looks like a different pitcher, like I said earlier, and the Red Sox struggle against lefties, especially now that they don't have Trevor Story, who in addition to being the best defensive infielder, was also one of their better right-handed bats. So us begging for a right-handed bat all offseason long looks even better. So great job, guys. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. And then I think the Red Sox salvage game three. Grayson Rodriguez, he's from Texas, so he's not used to the freezing cold. He's also 24 years old, and I feel like Fenway is just a tough assignment for a kid like that. And it's going to be gross out, low 40s and rainy. So good luck, guy from Houston, pitching in that kind of weather. So I got the Red Sox dropping 2 out of 3. I think they win the final game of the series. How fun is that?
Listen, man, we're not asking you to tell us, like, to be delusional. We're not asking, just because the Sox are 7-3 doesn't mean you have to predict the sweep of one of the best teams in baseball.
I'm going 162 for 162 this year, so keep it up.
Pat?
This is where me and Sammy's little tiebreaker of series is going to end.
Let's go.
I think they beat Corbin Burnes. I think they beat Cole Irvin. I think they get absolutely embarrassed by Grayson Rodriguez. I have them taking 2 out of 3, but the first 2 out of 3. I think for some reason, historically, guys like Corbin in recent years, they've done really well against. I don't know what it is, but I just have a gut feeling that they knock around Corbin a little bit. I am not believing in the Cole Irvin hype whatsoever. He is a wolf in sheep's clothes. I think he is a very hittable guy. I think they win those two. Grayson, on the other hand, he's legit. Last year it was flashes. He had his ups and downs in his rookie year. He's legit. I think they dropped that game.
All right. So Sammy taking 1 out of 3, loss, win. Pat has taken 2 out of 3, win, loss. I'm not going to predict a sweep on either end. I go back and forth on where I think the series is going to go. I think if the Sox hadn't been as good, I might have been, I don't know, maybe I would have even predicted a sweep against. But just I've seen the way this team can win games and weirdly in more than one fashion, even though like I don't think they have I think they got a strong bullpen, the Red Sox. I think they've got a middling offense that has potential to jump out at you, and they've got starting pitchers that can keep runs off the board, but it remains TBD how deep they can go into games. I think they're going to lose the home opener for the reasons that you guys said, but also the fact of the matter is we've seen Bayo in day games. It doesn't work, and Bayo is going to be pitching a day game against one of the better offenses in baseball. I think they take that one.
Do we buy that, the daytime Bayo thing, that he's a vampire?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But also, in addition to daytime Bayo, he's also big game Bayo. So which one? This is unstoppable force versus immovable object.
I'm buying the day game thing. I think
day game over big game.
Yeah, day game over big game. Day game over big game. Ouch. So I think, and it doesn't help that they're facing Corbin Burnes too. But like, if Bayo like lets up a 3 spot in the first, like that might just be that. I know the Orioles don't have a very good pen, and a lot of the series is going to be about, can the Red Sox get to the Orioles bullpen by the sixth inning? I will see how often they can do that. That's going to be the key to the series. I think they win the second game against Cole Irvin. I think they kind of get their shit handed to them in the first one, but I think they punch right back in the second one and win it somewhat convincingly. And I think as a result of those first two games being kind of punch and punch, they are going to have a rested bullpen for the third game of this series. It's going to be a pitcher's duel. Cutter's going to go five innings, like maybe one run. Grayson Rodriguez is going to go like seven innings, one run. It's going to be like a tight game, but the Sox are going to get to the Orioles bullpen late. The Red Sox bullpen is going to shut them down. They're going to win the game. So the Sox, I'm saying, take two out of three. I think they'll take the second two games of the series.
Wow. Well, we've been using some gross terms. Get their shit handed to them. Here you go.
Yeah.
They get their shit kicked in. Ouch. There's some gross terminology we're using here. But wow. So we got two out of three, and then I'm one out of three?
Yep.
So I can't lose. I can't lose unless they get swept, because either I get the prediction right or the Red Sox win the series. Either way, I'm setting myself up for a happy pod.
Just so you guys know, that was totally my mindset watching the game today. I was like, the Red Sox are either going to win the series, or like at least I predicted it right.
Like, I would much rather the Red Sox win than me be right. I don't give a hoot. But yeah, I don't love this matchup at all. Also, like, just the Red Sox at Fenway the last few years. Cora even spoke about it today, Sunday, as we're recording. Like, the vibe is not good, and just blah, man. Everything's blah.
Bless you.
Thank you. Sneezing. I sneezed right in my face through the computer, and stories hurt. And we haven't even seen Rob Refsnyder yet. Come on, man. What are they without Rob?
All right. Pat, what's the time for, Pat?
It is time for, drum roll, please, another segment of Crystal Bomb.
Bomb it.
Bomb it. For those unfamiliar, we each pick one player to hit a home run in the upcoming series. The rule is, if you take a player, that player is not allowed to be picked again by you for the next two series. Just to recap, Gordo is still on top because Rafi went yard today.
Let's go.
So now the scoreboard is Gordo has two, Sammy and I have one.
Sammy doesn't have one, does he?
No. I'm over.
Oh, no, you don't. You're over. Yeah, you're over.
Pat, you took Casas, right?
I took Casas.
So you got it in the first game, and it was looking like you were going to tie it, or you did tie it, but it was looking like it was going to be tied. Rafi got me, though. Rafi got me.
Good for you, kid. Good for you.
Sammy, pity pick. You can go first.
Oh, okay. I will go. Okay, Corbin Burns.
Who did you take in your first two, so we know who's ineligible?
My first one, I took Devers. That didn't work.
There's been three series. So the first one's back in play.
I went Devers, O'Neill, Valdez.
So you can't take O'Neill or Valdez.
Yeah, as Pat says, I'm going to go a little out of the box. Nah. Okay, fine. I'll take Connor Wong. I think he takes Corbin Burns deep, shocks the nation.
I like the pick.
Oh, wait. I'm not taking Connor Wong. Oh. I can't do it. I've been sitting on this one for a while. I think Sedan goes deep, and I think he does it in the home opener. Like, I feel like he's a big game guy.
Sammy, it's interesting. What you just did, Pat, are you going to pick Connor Wong because of what he just did?
Do it. No, I dare you. No, I was actually going to go for Connor Wong.
I was thinking about it.
But Reese is too hot. He's not going to play enough. I'll pick Connor Wong at some point. But no, I'll go with Sedan. I like big game Sedan. I think he pops one over the monster.
All right. Gordo?
So my last two... I had Devers the last series. Who did I take the series before that didn't hit a home run? I must have taken...
I believe you took Casas.
You took Story.
Oh, no, Story. Yeah. That's right, because I haven't taken Casas yet. Okay, so I can't take Story. I was going to do it, but I can't. I know it's... It's not bullshit, though, because I haven't taken him in 2 weeks. But he keeps hitting homers, and he's a righty. He's going to be playing his first games at Fenway Park. Sammy and I watched him take BP at spring training. The dude was pummeling balls over the monster. I want to go with a right-handed bat. There is a left-handed pitcher in the series, and this guy doesn't really matter who's been throwing the ball. He's been hitting homers galore. Highest OPS in baseball right now. I'm taking, again, Tyler O'Neill.
Lame.
That is lame.
Lame.
Hey, I could have taken Casas. I still haven't taken Casas. I could have done it.
I'm going to take someone that none of us have taken.
Is it Connor Wong?
I am going with Masataka Yoshida.
Ooh.
I think Masa connects this weekend. I think he wraps one around the pole.
He has been making good contact.
Right? I know. Oh, hard. I know.
I hate to break it to you, Pat. One
around the pole.
I hate to break it to you, but I think the number is at, I believe, 103 straight plate appearances for Yoshida without a homer.
That means he's due.
He is due.
You know what? Dude, last year when Yoshida caught fire, it was against Milwaukee. Guess who was on that team?
And it was that game.
Corbin Joseph Burns. I just guessed his middle name. I don't actually know if it's Joseph or not.
It was that game. It wasn't off Burns, but it was the Burns start that he hit those two homers in the same inning. It was the Burns start. What's his middle name, Sammy? I know you're looking.
Where is it? Where did they put it on?
His middle name is Brian.
Brian, yeah, Brian. That was close. Dude. That was
like
so
a football
close.
Player. He could have been Joseph. Brian Burns.
Corbin Brian Burns. It's kind of a mouth. Corbin Brian. Corbin Brian. Corbin Brian. Kind of like Kobe Bryant.
Corbin Bryant.
Kobe Bryant lost to the Celtics in 2008. You know who was a superstar back in 2008? Daisuke, who's from Japan, just like Masataka. There you go.
Oh, it was his best season.
Yeah, he had a ERA in the twos, but walked 1 million batters.
All right, Pat, recap it. What are the picks?
I have Masataka Yoshida. Gordo, being a little cheapskate, is taking Tyler O'Neill again. Sammy, who are you taking?
I'm taking Rafaela. I'll take Wong eventually. I'm doing Rafaela now. I'm saving my.
I had Wong at the front of the brain. So yes, Sammy has Rafaela. I have Yoshida, and Gordo has Tyler O'Neill.
And for the record, if I wasn't so convinced that like Reese McGuire might start two of these games, I probably would have taken Connor Wong, but I just don't think he can play.
That was my thought. I said Connor Wong, and then I was like, oh wait, no, Reese is the best hitter in Major League Baseball, so he'll keep playing.
All right, Sammy, final segment of the day. What's it time for?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of forget the intro that we agreed on, but just jump
in.
So this next segment, it's called Guys Being Dudes.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's what we agree. Okay, cool. Guys Being Dudes. So I'll explain it again. What we're doing here is we're taking a player from the opposing team who has also played for the Red Sox. Taking a little trip down memory lane with the Red Sox and the Orioles. So last week, Pat kicked us off. So Gordo, who you got?
I'm going to go with 2019 trade deadline acquisition, and he was not good for the Red Sox. And that trade deadline absolutely stunk. And they could have traded Mookie Betts for Will Smith, but instead they waited to the offseason and got Alex Verdugo. But they traded for Andrew Cashner from the Orioles. Woo-hoo! They got Andrew Cashner. My Cashner memories from him with the Red Sox are not entirely positive. He was not very good. I believe he got kicked to the bullpen pretty quickly. But I do remember back when he was with the Padres and he was starting for them. He wasn't starting the game, but like it was like the eighth inning. Like me and my buddies went down to the dugout. I was like, oh, shit, there's Cashner. Pulled a couple dollar bills out of my pocket. I was like, Cashner. And he looked over, showing the money. I was like, cash. And he thought that was very funny. So
he was like, I've never heard that one before. Thank
he
you,
thought
Gordon.
It was funny. He looked like he genuinely thought it was funny. I was shocked. I didn't think it was that clever.
Really? That's good. Good for him. He's a nice guy. Big Cash. So
that's my Andrew Cashner memories. I hope I'm not forgetting any big time Andrew Cashner memories.
He looks like he's from Conroe, Texas. He looks
looks the role, yeah.
He's like 6'6", 235, but somehow doesn't throw hard. Oh, actually, I remember when he came up with the Padres, I think.
He got hold on. Trivia question. He got traded from the Cubs to the Padres. Who was he traded for?
Rizzo.
Yes.
Nice. Nailed it. He used to throw really hard, and then he had an arm issue, and then he became more of a not hard throwing guy.
Yeah.
That made me sound smart. All right. Big Cash. He was a guy. You got. Oh my God. Pat's mic is falling over the place.
Sorry.
You good to go? Who you got?
Yeah. I just punched my microphone.
If we have the same guy, I will lose my mind. Go.
See that little nugget right there makes you think we have the same guy.
You have the same guy. There's no way.
No chance.
A member of the 2014 Red Sox.
Okay. It's not the same guy.
Good. All right. Jamile Weeks.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, okay. When I lived in California, he was like the next big thing. Everyone was so high on Jamile Weeks, and he was good for a minute and then just fizzled.
Yep.
Not sure why. But yeah, Jamile Weeks. He was good for a bit, wasn't he? Gord, are you doing a stat check right now?
Am I what?
Oh, I thought we were going to pull up some Jamile Weeks.
I'm pulling up a picture.
I got his numbers right now. What was that year? 2011. He was a rookie, hit 303, 110 OPS plus, and I believe he was a pretty good defender.
Yeah.
And then the next year, oh, God, he just fell off a cliff.
Is that you and Jamile Weeks, Gordo?
It sure is.
You've got
what?
Oh my God, I love that. Jamile Weeks. Look at that.
Dude, this guy, I shit you not, Pat. Like, he was like my favorite player.
Jamile Weeks.
What? Pat, he had it for half a season. I know, dude. I loved him with Oakland. And then he just like flamed out, but I always had faith.
Pat, I thought you were gonna say Alejandro De Haza.
Oh,
I thought that was gonna be that's not my pick, but Wait, can I ask a trivia question before your pick?
Trivia question. Who did the Red Sox trade for Jamile Weeks?
Was it Josh Reddick?
No.
Oh, wait, no. That would have been way after Reddick. That would have been.
He came from the Orioles. He didn't come from Oakland.
Was it in the Miller trade?
No.
Hmm.
I'll give you a hint. I mean, it's not really a hint. You're not going to remember that this guy ever played for the Red Sox. He probably played for them for like a week.
No pun intended. Who?
Kelly Johnson.
Never would have gotten
All right.
And okay, but do you know, second trivia question, the Red Sox had Kelly Johnson for a week or so. They got him from the Yankees. Who do they trade to the Yankees for him?
Kelly Johnson?
Stephen Drew.
Yep, very good.
Yeah, nice.
Wait, who was it?
I wouldn't have gotten that either.
It was Stephen Drew, right?
It was Stephen Drew.
Yeah, okay. All right.
One of my favorite trades ever because it was like one of my least favorite players going to my least favorite team. It was fantastic.
Well, I bet you wish you had a good defender like Stephen Drew on the Red Sox now.
I have no comment on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. You ready for mine? Mine kind of dates me. You guys like to make fun of my age.
Is this like Jolly Hands McGee? Is that his name?
No. This is like early 2000s when I was in my prime.
Early 2000s.
This is Rusty McNutsack. He was my favorite player in the 60s.
Yeah, Rusty
that's what McNutsack. I was thinking was coming.
Rusty McNutsack has nothing on left-handed hurler Bruce Chen. Bruce Chen?
Yeah.
He was one of the best pitchers in the history of the Boston Red Sox. He pitched 5 games, 12.1 innings with a pristine... God.
This was 2011, right?
5.1. No, this is 2003. He had a 5.11 ERA. No, but he pitched against the Red Sox. He pitched into 2015 when he was age 38.
I remember him on the Royals, right?
Yeah, he actually had like some decent seasons with the Royals. He was a late bloomer. But yeah, Bruce Chen. I vaguely remember him. The only thing I remember is I had his baseball card. And I was like, oh, sick. Bruce Chen, this guy's good. Wasn't good.
We're going to have to ask Rob about this because he would remember. But like, I have this weird recollection that he was like a free agent in 2011. And when the Red Sox could have potentially played a game 163 that never ended up happening. But had they done it, I think there was like a rumor that they were going to like sign Bruce Chen to pitch that game. We have to figure that one out. We'll do some research on that. I could just be full of shit and that just could be going through my stupid head. But I like remember something about that.
Bruce Chen debuted before Pat was alive. 1998. He pitched four games for the Atlanta Braves. He also pitched for the Expos before he came to the Red Sox. So that's cool. But yeah, Bruce Chen. I can't believe he's not in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. But, you know, crime happens.
Yep. Well, on that note, last thing is just the keep your eye out for the ceremony before the home opener. It's going to be there's going to be a lot going on, whether it be honoring the 2004 team where tons of the members of that team are back. Most of them are going to be there. I believe Manny is there, which is fantastic because he's my favorite Red Sox ever. But yeah, obviously they're going to be honoring Tim Wakefield, his wife Stacy, Larry Lucchino. There's just going to be a lot happening. It's going to be emotional for a number of reasons. There's going to be a lot going on, but something that every Red Sox fan, whether you were alive for the 04 championship and remember it, or whether you are younger and don't, tune in for that. If you can't tune in because you're at school or because you're working, make sure you record it. I'm sure there'll be videos of it, but definitely something worth watching. The Red Sox historically are really good about the ceremonies, so I'm very excited to see that. But this...
And, head to Fenway because I'll be there at watching at one of the Fenway bars, and Coop will not be able to make it because he has work, and Gordo is refusing to come, and then Pat lives in Connecticut. So all the boys are ditching me for the home opener, so I'll just be hiding under a bar stool at a bar somewhere.
If you're so I've not watched many Red Sox home games from bars, but I did watch one at Game On once, and I recall being able to hear the fans before things happened.
Nah, I've watched a bunch of games at Game On, and I've never had that happen.
Really?
Maybe if it was like a summer and nobody's there.
I think I may have been watching at the Cask and I could hear. And then so I went to Game On because it was like underground or something. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah.
I remember it was when Brian Brazier was like first coming up with the Sox and was like looking good. It was like, oh, maybe they have a guy here. And then they kind of did.
Yeah.
But also, Gresham Fauria, midday 10 to 2. They're going to be at the Cask. So be there to catch them. They'll be there in person. You'll be able to check that out. I believe Sammy might be making an appearance at that. I might too. We'll see if I can make it over. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to be able to swing it.
If you follow Gordo on social media, peer pressure him into joining me so I don't have to go alone because I'm super awkward in those kind of situations. So I need Gordo's companionship. Or
give yourself some credit.
Or maybe Pat, you could drive up, be a real bro.
Maybe a little surprise appearance.
Ah, oh, dude, the people would go nuts to see your traps.
Dude, people would go crazy.
Walk in a full sleeve of nips in.
Oh, yeah.
That's up Gordo's alley.
But yeah, peer pressure Gordo to, you know, take a little break from work. He's not skipping. I took the day off like a responsible adult. But Gordo, we want to be a little wild.
We'll take a walk on the wild side.
Join me.
But till then, till the post series reaction pod, we will be back at that time. But for now, before you leave, before you check out whatever, if you haven't listened to our series recap episode, if you found this one at the top of your feed, just remember we did a whole series recap of Sox Angels. Sox take 2 out of 3. They're now 7-3. We got into everything. We talked the good, the bad, the Trevor Story discussion. Like, it all happened there. So if you haven't heard that, make sure to go give that a listen. Click that link. Click that episode and give it a listen. If you have listened and you're going to go do something else, just remember, hit that subscribe button, whether it's the Apple, Spotify, or Odyssey apps. Hit that subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment. Tell us your series predictions. Give us your crystal bomb predictions. If we get some crystal bomb predictions, like, we got a lot of people tweeting it out, maybe one of these days we'll have like the fans can vote, and like we'll do that one day if we want to keep track. But yeah, hit that subscribe button, 5 stars, everything. Hit us up. YouTube, we're on WEI's page. Subscribe there. Give the video a thumbs up. check it all out. Take a look at Pat. Pat's looking good. Tell him that he should come home sooner than mid-May. He should come home mid-April. You can move in with me, Pat.
1 month.
You can move in.
1 month and I'm home for good.
You got a couch.
On my couch with Larry. Big Larry.
Degenerate at Fenway.
We got a couch for you, Pat. You got
degenerate as in I'll be there.
Pat will be there. But until then, this has been the Playtesty series preview of Sox Orioles. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Till next time, for Pat, for Sammy, for Coop producing, it's Gordo here. Thanks for tuning in. Toodaloo.